Lord, we pray that you would open our eyes this morning to your word, open our hearts and minds to what you want to say to us, and help us to apply it to our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you remember last week, Martin preached on shining as stars, and he talked about being different as Christians and being different as a church and avoiding arguing and complaining and working out our salvation with fear and trembling. Well, this morning's reading isn't really separate from last week's. It's kind of easy to think, well, we've got a little break in the translation, we've got a little title, and to think that it's actually not related, that Paul is now simply talking about a practical matter, sending Timothy to see them and sending Epaphroditus back and saying he wants to come and see them. But actually, I think it's not really that much different from what we've just read, because really it's the logical outworking of shining as stars. And what we've got here this morning are two pen portraits, or almost character references, for the two people that the church in Philippi are going to meet and have, or how in one case, have sent back to them. And what we're going to see this morning, in many ways, what model Christians can be like. And this morning's reading is, I hope, going to be a really practical message. It's full of application for us. It's not just a piece of early church history. It's not just, well, when was Paul when he wrote this letter and how did he send it? And where exactly was Timothy? How long did Timothy spend? And that sort of thing. Actually, we've got to read this for what it's got to say to us. And that's a lesson and an example for each one of us. But before we look at the passage this morning, what I'd like us to do is pose ourselves a question. And that is what we really want. What would make you really happy? What beyond a few moments of pleasure would give you long-lasting pleasure and joy? And I think that if we're Christians, we know the right thing to say at this moment. We should talk about, well, I really want to know the Lord more, or I want to spend more time with other people serving the Lord. We might talk about service. We might even know the right verses to quote. And I think, though, that children tend to be more honest. Many of my pupils are really blunt. They say, I want to be rich. I want to have a bigger house than my parents. And in Amersham, that's saying something, to be honest with you. When they're even younger, children tend to be even more honest. They just say, I want one of those. That's what they want, and they're very open about it. But, you know, even at a very young age, children can learn to be less than honest about what they really want. I don't remember this, but when I was about 3, we went shopping to Peterborough. We lived in a town near Peterborough. And I had learnt this new phrase, to need something. Not I want it, but I need it. And I went into mother care. Well, I was taken into mother care, and they had those little plastic cars you could ride on, you know, with a sort of shuffle on them before you can ride a bike. And I looked up at one, apparently, and said, I need that car. I don't think as adults, any of us would be that quite superficial, would we? I really need a holiday, and I really need to get some new clothes. I think I might even need a new car next year. Well, the church in Philippi, I don't think, were a bad bunch of people. They were in many ways good, faithful and loyal disciples. And Paul praises them in many ways. They'd been generous to him and he was thankful for them. But I think when you read the letter, there are hints that not everything was quite as good as it seemed. Because one of the things I've learned is you don't tell people things they don't already know. You don't, you know, if somebody's already looking very smart, you don't say to them, you need to tidy yourself up or something like that. So when Paul's saying things to them, it must have been things that they hadn't quite got right. And I suspect that's what's going on in this passage. Paul had already told them in chapter 2 that their attitude should be like that of Jesus. And indeed, the whole letter can be seen about a call to living life as a Christian, one which is self-humbling and imitating Jesus, pressing onwards to the goal which we're called, and knowing deep joy in him. But as I say, sometimes you get this sense that not all was right in Philippi. Sometimes you get this sense that they might have been a bit selfish. Paul began chapter 2, you might remember, from last week, from 2 weeks ago, by saying this in verse 4. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. And then he talks about the selfless example of Jesus as one we should follow. He talks about how Jesus made himself nothing, and he took the nature of a servant, and he humbled himself and became obedient to death. And that's why he goes on to tell them to be different, so that you can become blameless, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation. And I think this morning what we've got in Timothy and Epaphroditus is an example of what Jesus is like. People who follow him wholeheartedly. And Paul, I think, is in a way holding them up as examples or even models of the gospel in action. Timothy models that by his caring nature. Epaphroditus by his long-suffering, sacrificial service. And Timothy, in a way, is a picture often is seen as a picture of what a Christian minister ought to be. If you read lots of commentaries, they'll talk about that, particularly older ones. And you might remember that Paul wrote letters to Timothy, and 1 Timothy 1 is particularly talking about his work in service for the gospel. But I think that really, Timothy is in many ways an example for all of us. He's utterly selfless. Everyone, Paul says, I think he's probably exaggerating a little bit, but everyone is all about themselves, he says, except Timothy, who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. Timothy's care for others doesn't seem to be out of duty or feeling he ought to do it because it's what's required of him. We're told it's a genuine interest. Another translation talks about it being a natural interest. How do you get that? Well, I think that that's really because it must have been coming from real love and care. We can all learn to say to people, how are you? And really, we're brought up to say that because it's a nice, polite thing to say. And people always say, I'm fine. Or if they're modern, they say, I'm good, thank you. We learn those sort of things, don't we? But we all also know people who ask us that, and they really mean it. In Timothy's case, it's just because he's following the practice both of Paul and Jesus. Others look to their own interests, but that doesn't seem to be the case with Timothy. Tom Wright says that what Timothy has learned is that in caring for others, the body of Christ on earth, it's really an act of worship and love for the Lord. And more than that, it's a really selfless care. It's been proven over time. Many of us can be nice for a short time. We find it easy to help someone as a one-off. But real care is what we often...